What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Producer Pete is still learning the house rules, though, to be fair, we're a little bit like NCIS, where they had so many rules and the agents were expected to memorize them, but they were into the triple digits. I don't think we have that many rules, and I'm actually more of a rule breaker than I am a rule follower. Well, maybe it depends on what we're talking about. When it comes to driving, I'm definitely a rule breaker and not a rule follower.
Same here.
Oh, goodness. I feel like to survive a major metro like New York City, you have to be a rule breaker. Not to dangerous levels, but you have to be willing to fend for yourself, so to speak.
A rule breaker is actually a rule follower in New York.
It's the opposite. But when it comes to radio, I definitely don't follow convention. So if that's what it means, well, then now you know. Like predictions, for instance. Like luck. That has nothing to do with anything in life. Luck. I don't believe in luck or chance or coinkydink. But we can argue about that another time. But feel free to yell at the radio. It's okay with me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I also think that life would be really boring if we all agreed and did the same thing all the time. Goodness. For instance, we wouldn't want to be married to ourselves, to the same person. We might think we do, but we definitely would not.
No chance, yeah.
That would not work. So yeah, there's lots of reasons why it's okay to be different and to accentuate our differences. Patriots and Jets, boy, they've got some differences. We'll get to that preview coming up at the back half of the hour because that's how we kick off week three tonight. Are you kidding me? Happy Thursday. Yes. Happy Thursday to you. Good morning to you if you're just waking up. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We're also on the cusp of the college football weekend, so we'll try to squeeze in a little bit of that as well because there's a new number one, at least in the AP poll, and a Manning who will be starting this weekend for that new number one, we think, the next generation of Manning. So a lot of intrigue there. If you missed our QB news, well, that was just at the end of last hour. You can get that on our podcast. But we're going to shift our attention to Major League Baseball because we have not one, but two teams who have locked up their spots in the postseason. Are you ready? This is good stuff. Now, late last night in Seattle, it was the New York Yankees and the Mariners who were battling into the 10th inning. So this one, it was kind of hanging out there, driving some people in our newsroom a little nutso since we share studios and newsroom space with the flagship of the New York Yankees Radio Network.
Anthony Rizzo, first pitch, line drive down the right field line. It's a fair ball. Dominguez is going to score from second. Raley picks it out of the corner. Dominguez touches home. Anthony Rizzo coming through on extras. An RBI double, and the Yankees retake the lead. It's 2-1.
Justin Shackle on Yankees radio, and he had both the RBI, did Rizzo, including that one in the 10th inning. Now, the bottom of the 10th, the Mariners, they had peeps on base. They had ducks on the pond, if you will. Julio Rodriguez was sitting at third base. He was just 90 feet away from scoring the tying run.
2-2, here's the pitch. Swing and a...
Whoa.
Oh, he swung on and missed. The bat flew into left field. Rodriguez off the bag, and they got him at third base. Wells threw to Chisholm. Rodriguez was leading too far off third following the strikeout, and it is a remarkable double play here in the bottom of the 10th.
Remarkable, also strange. I'm not sure I've ever seen that before. Either he didn't know what the count was, or he thought it was a foul ball, but it wasn't a ball that came flying at him. It was the bat. So the bat splintered, went flying up the third baseline. He kind of stepped around it, and I don't know if he was just focused on that and not thinking, but then he's just hanging out, maxing, relaxing about 9 feet off the bag, and it was a strikeout, throw him out essentially, but he was nowhere near. It took him a second. He remembered, but he was a sitting duck. Just he got caught up looking at the bat, I think. I don't know. But yeah, it was kind of funny to hear the reaction out in the newsroom again because our our New York affiliate carries the Yankees, but we share studio space with them. So it's loud. Something else that we noticed too is producer Pete and I were getting ready for the show that the Amazon Prime broadcast is maybe 4 or 5 seconds behind the radio. So yes, we were hearing the calls and then we were seeing it on his Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's lots of fans who have to adjust to that if they're trying to sync up radio with TV. Ultimately, I'm sorry, did you want to say something else?
Yeah, just real quick about Justin Shackle there. That play was a little confusing when you saw it on television.
Mm.
His call, I'm going to give him a compliment on his call. His call was excellent for what was going on the screen at the time and what we were seeing at home. For me, it was a very clean play that we see every day. I mean, we never see that play every day.
No, I'm not sure I've ever seen it before. And interesting, too, because the Yankees are bringing back John Sterling for the playoffs. So he's coming out of retirement. And this apparently was the club's request. This was not John Sterling. He was happy to ride off into the sunset on his pinstripe horse. But they asked him to come back for the playoffs. So he and Susan Waldman, who's still there as the analyst, they'll be working together for the playoffs. And I mean, I'm the sentimental type, of course, the emotional girl. I know that they're a highly decorated franchise and no one's going to cry for them outside of New York if they don't win another World Series. He's called plenty of them. But still, it would be neat if he comes back and they end up getting to the Fall Classic again because it's been 15 years.
I tell you, John Sterling, I'm as a Met fan and listening to all those Yankee celebrations, hearing John back on the air is going to be a nice thing to hear.
It's definitely a shot of nostalgia.
Yeah.
And he's not the only one retiring from the AL East, though he is coming back. Joe Castiglione, the longtime voice of the Red Sox, who is someone I grew up listening to. He's amazing. He's a Hall of Famer. He's also retiring at the end of this year. And I know they've got a bunch of different guys that are working. But still, though, these voices, iconic voices, we bid farewell. Vin Scully a few years ago, even before he passed away. And there are voices that, as a soundtrack of summer, that's how I think of baseball on the radio. They've been with some of us for our entire lives. And actually, we're going to get to another one coming up here in a second. But yes, the Yankees did hold off the Mariners in the 10th. They were able to lock up a wild card spot at the least. They do have an expanded lead over the Orioles now because the Orioles are going the wrong way. They've dropped 9 of 10. And so that cushion now for the Yankees atop the American League East is 5 games. And as you can imagine, they have much bigger dreams. They would still like to be able to win the East, but this is a nice step.
The division's in sight. It's getting closer and closer, but we'll celebrate tonight. We'll have fun, and we'll enjoy it because it's a big accomplishment.
You know, I know everybody in this room knows that we're out there hunting a division, and, you know, that's the first goal going into the postseason. But I think punching our ticket in there is something special, so we want to celebrate tonight and then get ready for tomorrow.
Obviously, one of our goals, you want to get in the dance and have a chance to go chase that prize. We got that accomplished. Hopefully now we can go out and win the division and get that next goal.
Everybody looking forward to the next step, and that's kind of what happens with when you're with a team that has those high expectations. Rizzo, Aaron Judge, who was in the clubhouse, you could hear the din behind him, and then Aaron Boone, who was on the field. I think that was part of Amazon Prime. He was interviewed on Prime. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So that's one playoff spot locked up in the American League. It was a little more dramatic for the National League spot that got clinched on Wednesday night.
And Stebbins is running and delivers. Swinging and a rocket to right. Base hit. They win. Jake Bowers hit an absolute bullet. Harper at first. Jackson Chourio scores the winner, and they're chasing Jake Bowers.
Bob Uecker with the call there on the walk-off single by Bowers to beat the Phillies. So they end up clinching the NL Central with that walk-off, their third division title in 4 years. They really put some distance between themselves and the rest of the division over the last couple of months. But this is kind of cool. I did see this on MLB Network. I haven't heard it because the sound is off here in the studio. But because you can hear the fans there in Milwaukee, they're thrilled and were able to celebrate with the the players. Players were out there taking team photo and that kind of stuff. But at some point, Bob Uecker addresses the crowd. Again, I haven't heard it. I've just seen the video on MLB Network. But he and what appears to be his wife are at a microphone addressing the fans that are still there in Milwaukee. Eventually, Bob made his way into the clubhouse, and this is amazing. Pat Murphy is the voice you'll hear, and he's got his arm around Bob Uecker as they welcome him into the middle of the alcohol scrumble.
There is no one who epitomizes a champion the way this man does right here. There is no one out here. What an example for us to be with every single day. Bob Uecker. No doubt. Yeah!
Wait, can you replay that end part? If you didn't hear it, I just want to make sure you hear it clearly. So he essentially is giving Uecker props. No one has, you know, something champion. No one epitomizes champion more than this guy. And he's got his arm around Bob Uecker. And Bob Uecker's response.
I peed my pants.
If you can't hear it, I'm sorry. Really, please go and find it. Maybe we can share it from our show, Twix, at Amy After Hours. Bob Uecker's response to that tribute from Pat Murphy, I just peed my pants. I peed my pants. Now, I haven't looked up his age. He's obviously been doing this a very long time. I wouldn't be surprised if he was telling the whole truth. But that's probably something that we all have to deal with in our older age. Whatever, just a fact of life. But that cracked me up.
That 90.
He's 90?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, that's phenomenal. I figured he was in his 80s. That's
91 in January.
Amazing. He and John Sterling, yeah, the two of them. And again, Vin Scully, long into his elder years, his senior citizenry before he retired and was just still so on top of it. So Bob is a national treasure. Of course, they adore him in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee. No wonder he was addressing the fans. But in the locker room, or in the clubhouse, excuse me, his response was, I peed my pants. Pat Murphy and the Brewers win the NL Central.
No one in spring training would have said the Brewers will win the NL Central, except maybe a few guys in that room. And it just talks to one thing. This is a game about people. You can throw as many adversities our way as you want. You trade our Cy Young winner. Our number one is down for the year. We lose Wade. We lose Gasser. We lose so many other pitchers. We lose Devin till August. Then we lose Yelich in August. So many other injuries. How many different starting pitchers? How many? We cut the budget. All that kind of stuff. You can do all that to us, but it's still about people, and you have no idea what their best is. These guys don't know what their best is and didn't know what their best was and still don't. But they know one thing, pulling together, competing, being doubted is something that can vault you forward into a championship.
Passion from Pat Murphy, who took over this season and kind of outlines how this has not been an easy road. Also, I was just reading this as I'm hearing him. He actually watched the last outs of the Cubs game. So the Cubs game was earlier. They watched the last outs together, he and Bob Uecker. And so they were spending a little time knowing at that point that they had clinched a playoff spot. They were able to celebrate once Bowers had the walk-off single. So that's really cool. Congratulations to the Brewers and to the Yankees. And, of course, there is a whole lot still on the line. We're watching some of these wild card races, which are, yeah, they're getting tight. And teams that you maybe wouldn't expect being right there in the mix, like the Detroit Tigers. Where did they come from?
The 1-1. Fly ball, right field. This one's way back and right and gone. Got a fastball this time and did not miss. Number 24 for Riley Green. Tigers take a 2-1 lead in the third. The Royals right now hold the second wild card spot. Shot fair down the first baseline. Pass to diving Gurriel into the corner. Torkelson is in. Young is being waved. He's being waved around third. Coming home. Relay from Garcia up the line. Save! Got under the tag. Sweeney ends up on third. The Tigers add two runs and take a 4-1 lead.
Well, and the Tigers not only continuing this incredible hot streak where they have the best record in baseball going back to August 11th, but they're adding to the misery of the Kansas City Royals, who had their own hot streak earlier in the season. Four losses in a row now for the Royals, though they do still sit in that number two wildcard spot. Get this, though, the Twins have got the Tigers just a half game behind them. So how about that? Three teams from the AL Central who are competing for what is now two spots. The Orioles, they appear to be safe atop the wild card standings, though you got to wonder if they're going to be able to right the ship. As I say, they lost 9 of 12. But we're talking about the Tigers, though. This is a team that hasn't had a winning record yet under A.J. Hinch. They are above 500 right now, and he is all smiles.
It's awesome. I mean, these guys, you know, first off, we believe, and secondly, we come every day to try to win the game, and we are winning a lot, which is, it's fun to watch these guys learn and grow and compete their ass off to the end of the game.
Right now, Detroit is 24-10 since August 11th. All right, so they have gotten to 80 wins. In fact, every team in that division is above 500. We're talking AL Central. Every team in that division is above 500. They're the fourth place team in that division and could end up with a wild card spot, likely go between them and the Twins. But how about the White Sox also in that same division? That's crazy, right? Four teams that have winning records and the White Sox, who are closing in on worst record, worst single season record in the history of baseball. They're at 117 losses, so three away from the all-time record, which is 120. And oh, they have time to set the record all by themselves. Well, with all of this happening in Major League Baseball, we were excited to catch up with Maury Brown of Forbes. Covers baseball, joined us from the Pacific Northwest once that game between Yankees and Mariners was done, and he had an event, so we were waiting for him. Anyway, we did a good job just kind of highlighting some of the major stories and questions with 10 games to go. It's relatively succinct, so we'll bring back that conversation coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. Our phone number always 855-212-4227. Good morning to you. It's Thursday. Football is on the horizon, but it's not just football. We tend to get pretty myopic this time of the year. Baseball is inserting itself back into the conversation. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Strikes, the pitch, swing and a miss, strike three. It's the ball game. The Yankees win it 2-1-10, and they are heading back to the postseason.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Justin Shackle on Yankees radio as they have clinched at least a wild card spot, though we're closing in on the AL East title. But it's been a while since the Yankees have tasted the sweet nectar of the World Series. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Had a chance to catch up with Maury Brown of Forbes earlier in the show. And it wasn't just about the Yankees, those of you who don't like the team in pinstripes, but some really interesting storylines brewing and major questions, of course, over the last 10 games. But we started with the Yankees, and I asked him, what makes this team dangerous?
Yeah, I think the big thing, right, is they seem to have gotten their pitching somewhat sorted out, right? I mean, you know, tonight wasn't any kind of major win, right? They basically eke out a 2-1 victory in extras. You know, they're playing Seattle, who's, you know, woeful in terms of offense. But they're making the wins happen when they need to have them happen. I don't know if we can say that the aura of the Yankees is back by any stretch. I mean, this is just simply not what we had in the late 90s and in the early 2000s. But I will say it feels a little bit different. The chaos and the randomness of the postseason, I will be interested to see how they match up now that they've clinched.
While we're talking about the American League East, the Orioles have struggled. They've dropped 9 of 12. What's going on with them?
Untimely hitting, for one. You know, everybody goes through their slumps. Some slumps are longer than others, and this is not the place to have them. I always wonder, Amy, I mean, this is the thing that's very hard to look at. Everybody goes through these slumps, and then the good teams, of course, turn them around faster. When is it not a slump and something more systemic. And I'm looking at the Orioles right now. They're not losing a few games. They're losing a lot of games in this stretch. It's just not the place for them to be. You know, are they going to back themselves into the postseason? It looks like it. Are they going to make as much noise as I maybe thought that they were, you know, maybe 2 months ago? I'm not so sure right now.
We had another team clinch a playoff spot on Wednesday. That's the Brewers, their third National League Central title in 4 years. And this is a team that for a while was kind of battling with the rest of the Central, or at least a couple teams there, and then blew that division out of the water. How'd they do it?
Yeah, and you know, again, I think that you kind of mentioned it right there. It has been a division that has not been able to get any traction. And so it was ripe to have a team that has been consistently well. Again, I think the thing that's always bothersome when you look at this is you go, oh, in the vacuum of division play, they look like they're going to run, you know, the table. When they get into the playoffs, right, everything tends to change quite a bit with them. I don't want to read too much into it. I'm not discounting them by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a weak division quite a bit, right? And very streaky in spots. I'd be interested to see how they do clinching a postseason spot, how they do.
We're always happy to have our friend Mari Brown on the show. He's a senior contributor covering baseball for Forbes, and he's with us here after hours with Amy Lawrence. Both leagues are top heavy, and so there are some real races for best record and home field. Who needs that the most, Mari, when it comes to the playoffs in October?
Yeah, this is a really great question. I think that the Dodgers probably need this a little bit, and I say that in the sense that they have just seemed to struggle in the postseason so badly. You know, they're trying so desperately to get over that hump. Certainly the Yankees, I think, could use it. You know, there's just such an electric environment.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In that situation, it's been really wild to watch how some of these teams have been. Their splits have been really interesting. I'm going to sit there right now. I'm going to pick on those two teams right now and say that I think that that would be helpful.
The Dodgers certainly have some challenges with their pitching. It seems like more often than not, it's a pitcher getting hurt and not part of the rotation than it is some positive news. But we know for Shohei Ohtani, it's been an historic year already. Another stolen base on Wednesday. So he's sitting on 49. He's got the 48 home runs. How significant, how big a deal would it be to have a 50-50 season?
It's remarkable. And, you know, Amy, it's so hard to look at history when you're sitting on top of it. I think that oftentimes we sit there and we just kind of take it for granted. And I still, to this day, I don't know if we've ever seen a guy like him. And it's just such an extraordinary thing. Remember, he could come in. I can't believe that we're saying this. It's possible that he could pitch in the postseason. And that, to me, just blows my mind on top of everything else. Is he going to win the NL MVP? I don't know. You know, it's a pretty tight race right now in that spot. But if he goes 50-50, I think that he's going to get in. And right now, I think that he's going to, you know, I think it would take something pretty extraordinary for him not to get it at this stage. Every year I sit there and I'm like, oh, wow, you know, he got dinged up again, you know, in terms of his pitching. And then here we are in the middle of it. And I think that that was the thing that was lost when he was being a two-way guy last year, which was we failed to think about just how solid he is in pretty much every facet of the game. God bless it. I mean, if I'm Rob Manfred, you want that guy to go deep into the postseason, right? You want him. You want Aaron Judge. He would never had that opportunity with the Angels, and I think that there is the possibility, again, until they get their monkey off their back. But, again, I think it would just be great for baseball for him to get more of a national platform. So I'm rooting for him in that sense and looking for the Dodgers. You know, at least they need to get out of the first round, at very least.
Maury Brown is with us covering baseball on the end of the regular season for Forbes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So the Phillies right now are the best team in baseball in terms of a record. They've had some close calls, some near misses the last couple years. How prepared are they now for the October stage?
I think they're the most prepared. Right now, they look really good. I mean, if I was going to sit there and go, what's a team that should make the postseason but go deep, I would say it's the Phillies. For the reasons that you mentioned, Amy, I mean, they were right there. They were right there. There is, of course, some randomness of the postseason. I talk about this often and write about it. It's so different now that we have the wild card series, how this can change.
Yes.
And so you would sit there and you would go, oh, the regular season matters, and it really matters when I look at it. But I do have to look at them and say that it would take something catastrophic on their part and some team just coming in ultra white hot with their pitching and their hitting to go ahead and upend them right now. I have to look at them certainly as the favorite to get to the NLCS and maybe, of course, win the World Series at this stage.
The Padres are closing in on a wild card spot after a swoon in 2023. How did they get back to relevance, Maury?
I think that there was taking pressure off of them, quite honestly. And there was so much pressure on them. Of course, we had the PED situation with Tatis, and there was all the clubhouse stuff. We saw what happened with Manny Machado and him, and I just think that the chemistry was kind of upside down. Pitching certainly matters, but they're just one of these things where they've kind of slid under the radar. I would get back to the fact that there's parity. Parity at the top. You're not going to have a team, unless there's something absolutely remarkable at this point, you're not going to have a 100-win team. And we haven't seen this in a while. There's certainly, you know, problems at the bottom, and God bless the, you know, Chicago White Sox right now for that. But again, it's been pretty balanced in the top third of the league, and that, I think, really plays into a lot of it. I think that there's just opportunity there. And again, the Dodgers, for as great as they are, pitching has always been the large question. I mean, Kershaw obviously is a big, huge question right now, and just around how their overall rotation is going to be going into the postseason. So I think that they look at it as an opportunity.
So a couple of teams that we haven't seen in the playoffs in a while are hanging around in the American League, the Royals, the Twins, the Tigers, all from the Central. Of course, the Mets rebounded from what was an abysmal start. The Diamondbacks, they were obviously in the World Series a year ago. Which of these teams do you think has the most staying power come postseason?
Yeah, this is a great question. First of all, if the Twins don't get some things sorted out pretty quick, and the Tigers continue on this, you know, torrid stretch that they've run. They've won four straight. They're a half game out. If I was a Twins fan right now, I would be beside myself. I mean, it's just very hard to watch. And so in terms of staying power, it's a great question. The team that I think, and I don't know how many times we're going to have this conversation, seems to happen every year, is the Houston Astros. I look at them as the team that I would be the most afraid of right now. There's been a couple of incidents right now around some minor injuries, Bregman and Altuve. We had the weirdness last night where he took his shoes off and got ejected. And that's going to be a great, you know, I love baseball because of stuff like that. But again, their pitching started to come around. The Astros were so bad to come out of it. And I expected them to regress a little bit. And that was part of the reason why the Mariners opened up a 10-game lead on everybody and then swooned. I honestly, right now, if I was afraid of any team right now simply because they've been there so much and they've been able to go ahead and get their pitching sorted out, I would look at the Houston Astros.
You brought up the White Sox. I was going to ask you, but as we wrap up, they've had a brutal season, of course. It's not the first one to have as many losses as they do. And, of course, we're not at the end of the regular season yet, but 117 at this point. How do you begin to fix that?
Well, they have to rebuild their farm system. I mean, this is something that's been a glaring hole for them for a while. And I think that they're trying to set the expectations for fans that this is not something that's going to get turned around next year. You're just not going to be able to do it with free agency. They're that bad. I mean, Amy, I don't know if the fans saw this already, but if you go out and look at the White Sox Twitter account, they said something to the effect of, "We lost again. The other team scored more runs." I mean, that it wasn't even that they didn't even list the score. It was amazing in the sense that it was like, this is what we're sitting upon. They're going to lose 120 games. They're going to tie or surpass the 62 Mets. The real question, I think, is largely going to be like how their win percentage is going to be in relationship to it. And again, I think that it is one of those things to where they've, you know, you can only rearrange deck chairs on the Titanic so many times. They fired Kenny Williams. They've fired their manager. You know, they've tried to do this a number of ways. They brought in Tony La Russa. It's just not worked. And this, I think, again, speaks to the fact that they just have not been able to develop. And if you're a modern team right now, if you don't have a good farm system built up, you're just not going to be able to do this sort of thing for very long. It's just so competitive now. Teams are able to scout each other so much better than they have, even in the last 5 years, that if you just don't have a pipeline and then augment with free agency, you just can't go out and buy free agents right now and expect to turn around a team that bad that fast.
Farm system. How quickly can you turn around the farm system, though? 117 losses and counting. And if you didn't see the tweet, it was actually really funny. The White Sox put it out there, and I'm sure they have to get creative now. The other team scored more runs than us. That was their synopsis of the game. Final, the other team scored more runs than us. A sense of humor will come in handy as well. Just 10 games to go in this regular season. So much had to be decided. Excited to talk about it with you. Coming up, though, looking ahead to football, because week 3 and week 4, NFL and college on the horizon. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
Well, Amy, when Jordan Love went down for the Packers with a sprained MCL, initial diagnosis had him missing a month. However, Love back to practice on a limited basis already and hopeful to play Sunday against the Titans.
The trainers are seeing everything I'm doing, and they're not going to put me out there unless they feel confident that I can protect myself. But at the same time, that's why it's good to, you know, get some practice reps in and get that feel of what it's like again. But at the same time, there's just nothing that's like when it's live bullets here in the game and that rush is real. So there's a lot of things that I might not experience before I get back in the game.
Meanwhile, the Panthers made headlines, sending last year's number one pick Bryce Young to the bench. Another former number one pick overall in Baker Mayfield had his own rough roads before finding a new home in Tampa. And he's got confidence Young's final chapter yet to be written.
It's a matter of the pieces around you, the coaches, and for Bryce, a guy that, you know, I can relate to this, finding that belief within yourself again, and he'll get it. His story's far, far from finished.
Baseball, big day for Corbin Carroll as the Diamondbacks look to secure a playoff berth.
The offense has really taken off.
There's a swing. That ball hit well. Deep to right field and gone. Second homer of the day for Corbin Carroll, as it's now a 5-0 Diamondback lead here in the second.
Pair of jacks for Carroll. D-backs overpower the Rockies 9-4. Call courtesy of the Diamondbacks radio network. Elsewhere, the Mets suffocate the Nationals 10-0. Braves lit up the Reds 7-1. Padres shut down the Astros 4-0. Manny Machado went deep twice, while Dylan Cease allowed just 2 hits over 8 1/3. So Mets and Diamondbacks remain tied for the second wild card, 2 games up on Atlanta. Elsewhere, the Brewers walked it off on the Phillies 2-1, clinching the AL Central for the third time in 4 years. Yankees survived the Mariners 2-1-10, officially clinching a playoff spot. A's took out the Cubs 5-3. Guardians survived the Twins 5-4-10. Tigers over the Royals 4-2 as Detroit has now crept to within a half game of Minnesota for that final wild card. Dodgers rocked the Marlins 8-4. Rangers shut down the Blue Jays 2-0. Giants erased the Orioles 5-3. Cardinals overwhelmed the Pirates 10-5. Red Sox double the Rays 2-1, and the Angels outlast the White Sox 4-3-13. And the Orioles, a bit of a surprise. They designated Craig Kimbrel for assignment. 440 career saves, but an ERA pushing 14 over his last 11 appearances. I'm Marco Belletti.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
Down and six at the 26 of the Titans. Empty backfield, five wide for Aaron Rodgers. Takes the snap, drops back, four-man rush. Lobs one down the right side at the goal line, leaping attempt. Wow. Caught, Breece Hall. Oh, that's a jet touchdown. Breece Hall climbs the ladder and Aaron Rodgers drops in a perfect dime. And the Jets have the lead.
First and goal to go from the right hash to the one. Now Leverett's going to move to the left and put a hand down.
Sets outside.
Two receivers right, direct snap to Stevenson. He runs it to the left side, and he's in for the touchdown. The Patriots take the lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
AFC East clash, two rivals coming up on Thursday Night Football. The calls there with Bob Wischusen on Jets Radio, and then also on Patriots Radio with Bob Soucy. Yes. So the more things change, the more things stay the same. And the AFC East has got some great rivalries, as do all these divisions. It's just interesting to think about the Jets potentially having the upper hand, which, of course, under Bill Belichick was not the case. No matter what personnel was on the field, they did not have the upper hand when Belichick was the head coach. So we'll see how it goes with Jerod Mayo. But yeah, short work week. And the idea with Jerod is that they really want to continue to tick upward, trend upward, if you will, through the course of the season.
Talked about it at the beginning of the season, what success looks like for me, and that's just getting better each and every week. Not only the players, but also the coaches and myself.
A lot of excitement going into the Thursday night game. Quick turnaround. You know, all the players' energies was up, coaches' energies was up. So, you know, we're excited for this opportunity.
Jacoby Brissett on the heels of Jerod Mayo. And so far, he's been a good stabilizing force. I mean, I think with the Patriots-Seahawks game that went into overtime last week, what stands out to me is still the number of rushing yards that the Pats were able to accumulate. And I know we had talked about this from the Seahawks' perspective, the fact that they really couldn't stop the run and they're still trying to implement and get comfortable in that Mike McDonald defense. But New England, for a second straight week, was really able to run. They did it against the Bengals, too. Ramondre Stevenson, he's a load. 185 rushing yards in the losing effort against the Seahawks. Geno was good. He was really good through the air. The one that stands out is the DK Metcalf, the 56-yard bomb from Geno. He got behind the defense or got away from the defense. So it was a work in progress for the Patriots. As for the Jets, I mean, this is a team that is supposed to be among the contenders in the AFC. Of course, they started out with the Niners, and that was a tough sell. But they were able to right the ship against the Titans a little bit. But I think maybe a couple of things that were overlooked or maybe not talked about enough. Aaron Rodgers is not the same guy. He can throw the ball as far as he needs to, and he's got the accuracy, and he certainly can see on the football field more than most any other player out there. I mean, he's got seniority, but he's got experience. And so there's a lot that he can bring to the locker room and to the field just because of everything he's seen in his tenure. But you may have noticed against the Titans, it seemed like there were opportunities where he would be able to move around, right? To either step up in the pocket, to be able to extend a play. Instead, he's throwing the ball away. He really can't move the same. Now, if that's a combination of age and the Achilles, maybe he's able to do more later in the season. As he gets older, no. Just because he gets more comfortable off the Achilles and he's has better range of motion, but he's not the same guy that used to be able to, well, like a Patrick Mahomes, right? Duck underneath the coverage. or duck underneath, excuse me, the pass rush, get away from a collapsing pocket, move forward, move back, move around, and then throw the ball off the wrong foot 60 yards down the field. He's also not going to take off and run. I mean, those are different elements of his game, and maybe we see it once or twice where he's able to do that this season, but it doesn't seem like it's the typical anymore. And maybe when you're 40 years old, the quick turnaround is even tougher.
Yeah, it'll be fun to be out there with the crowd. Night games, I love night games, so excited about it. Not, you know, no one's real crazy about Thursday games, but everybody loves the Thursday, the weekend after the Thursday games.
I'm excited, man. You know, we got to, you know, not a lot of time to rest, which I like. Let's roll, let's play. Got another opportunity on Thursday. You know, anytime you get to turn it on that quick is fun. So I'm excited to get back out there.
Garrett Wilson, the opposite. What is he, 23, 24 maybe? So he's in the exact opposite position as Aaron Rodgers, who says maybe not quick turnaround. He's 24, just turned 24 in July, and obviously the top target right now. Well, I would think he's the top target. I don't know if Alan Lazard counts as Aaron Rodgers' favorite target, but he's got a bunch of guys around him that he's comfortable with. Braylon Allen, a new force for the Jets, the 20-year-old, the NFL's youngest player. So not just the Jets' youngest player, but the NFL's youngest at 20. He had a couple of touchdowns in their victory over the Titans. So we'll be talking about that game when we reconvene coming up tonight after hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, in college football, there's a new number one in the AP poll. So the coaches' poll remains the same. Georgia still on top, Texas too. But in the AP poll, Texas leapfrogs Georgia after what was a lethargic performance against Kentucky. It was kind of a mess. And so Texas is ahead of them now with the 3-0 record. And the big victory over Michigan on the road at the Big House, that was huge. But this past game, this was the one in which Quinn Ewers got hurt, and he was being billed as a Heisman Trophy front runner, the odds on favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. And so now Coach Sark potentially having to go into week three with Arch Manning. Although it was fine, I'm using my air quotations, when Arch stepped in, he threw a touchdown pass on his very first snap. A couple snaps later, he ran 68 yards with the kind of wheels he definitely did not inherit from his uncles, Peyton and Eli. But at this point, it's still Quinn's job based on how quickly he can get healthy.
There was a non-contact deal, which we touched on, you know, the oblique strain there. Next week, when you guys get your injury report on next Wednesday, that officially begins, he would be listed as questionable. Okay, so it's really, you know, we're going to monitor him day to day and see what this looks like. But he would be questionable for Saturday on the report for next week.
Okay, so questionable is what we get. But here's the crazy part. After seeing the 5 touchdowns from Arch Manning, wouldn't you know, now he has vaulted into the top 10 when it comes to Heisman odds. That's how fickle these are. That's how quickly things can change. So yeah, Ewers was the betting favorite after week 2, but he gets hurt in that second quarter. Probably isn't going to play this week, though I guess we don't know that for sure. And now you've got Manning, who has the rushing touchdown, the 4 passing touchdowns, and he's in that Heisman conversation. And really, for Sark, just wants to maintain the same offense.
It was a great opportunity for Arch to have to come in off the bench when you're not, hey, next series you're in. So as a backup, you have to be ready to go. I thought Arch performed really, really well for us. So that, you know, he ran our offense. He looked he looks poised and composed. You know, there were some learning curves in there, a couple things to learn from. But at the end of the day, thought he played at a high level and he was getting some of the honors for that.
Another Manning. There's another Manning, Pete. Come on, this has got to be really exciting for a lot of people who are interested in what he does. And I know this weekend it's Louisiana Monroe. We're not talking about another Michigan matchup or even Oklahoma that's coming up a little bit later in October, so not quite a month away. They've got some tough SEC games, of course, but sitting in the number one spot and you're able to bring in a backup quarterback who I will say openly, I admire Arch and his family for not jumping somewhere else. I mean, he knew he was going to have to sit behind Quinn Ewers again, and he was okay with that. His family's okay with that. But boy, when he got his opportunity, he was like a house on fire. So he's definitely benefiting from the time at Texas, and we'll see what he's got in store for an encore. But another Manning on the football field. We'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.